Well, the last few years, I have just come to realize that there are many things, like everyday things, that I have just been using wrong. And I think maybe you have too, and so I have a couple of examples this morning. And the first is this: did you know that these condiment cups up here that you put your ketchup and other things in are actually designed to be opened up? So that instead of grabbing 5 or 6 of those tiny little cups, you can just grab a few and hold all that you need. Did anyone here know that before this moment? Everybody but me? Okay, great. All right, here's another one. Did you know that the aluminum foil container box, cardboard box, actually has tabs on the outside that you can push in that will hold the roll in place when you pull on it? I don't know about you, but it always comes out and I get frustrated. And so when I learned this, it blew my mind. Anyone in here know that before just now? Some people. All right, great. All right, here's the last one. Did you know that the bottom drawer on your oven, on many of your ovens, is actually a food warmer? That it has the ability to keep your food warm while you cook other things. Now listen, that has only ever held my cookie sheets my entire life. And so when I realized this, I ran home and was just in awe that that was something I wasn't doing. Anyone in here know that before just this moment? Okay, well, if you haven't picked up on it yet, I have no clue how to use anything in my kitchen. So there, I was doing all of these things wrong. And as silly as those are, there is something else for most of my life that I didn't realize until later in my life that I had been doing wrong. And that was prayer. Now, that may make you anxious or confused or worried to think, what? Like, there is a wrong way to pray? Yeah, there is. That's what I want to talk about this morning. You see, as we wrap up this series, What Would Jesus Undo? I really do believe that one of the things Jesus would want to undo in us is the way that we pray. And so think about it this morning. What is your prayer life like? Do you pray? When do you pray? For how long? And what do you say? Maybe you pray in the morning when you wake up or when you go to sleep. Maybe you pray before a meal. Maybe you pray when you can't find your keys. Or maybe you pray when the Astros are behind. But the reality is there are lots of different thoughts and ideas and examples of how to pray and what prayer is and what it accomplishes out there. And so think about it. Why don't you pray? Or maybe the reason you don't pray is because you just don't know where to start. Or maybe you just don't know if you're doing it right, or some of it seems confusing. Or maybe you don't pray because you're not sure if it does anything at all. And I want you to know that if you're feeling any of those things this morning, I want you to know that you are not alone. You see, Jesus' disciples had some of the same types of questions about prayer. You see, they recognized and realized that when they watched him pray, they realized that it was something different was going on there. That when he prayed, it was unlike anything they had been taught, anything they had seen, anything they had personally done. And so when they saw him, they were in awe and they wondered. And to the point that one day they simply asked him this. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And they're essentially saying, "Jesus, listen, we think we're doing this wrong. When we watch you pray, there's something else going on here. And so help us to understand, how do we do that? What are we doing wrong?" And we'll see Jesus' explanation in the Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles this morning. So if you have a Bible, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew is the first chapter of the New Testament. It's about 3/4 of the way through your Bible. But we'll also put the words up on the screen for you to follow along. But after they ask him, or his explanation in this moment starts in verse 5. And here's what Jesus said to them. He said, "And when you pray, do not." Now, it's interesting that Jesus began the explanation of how to pray by beginning to tell them what not to do. And there must be a reason here why. And clearly, there is a wrong way to pray. If he's leading with, here's what you should not do. There must have been many misconceptions, or there must have been many people who were doing this incorrectly for Jesus to lead with what not to do. And look at what he said. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." It's a strong word. What are they doing? "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues." Now, the synagogues is just a Jewish place of worship. It would be like a church for us today. And he says, don't be like them because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, Jesus tells us what not to do, and he says, do not be like the hypocrites. That is a very strong word choice. But he tells us why he calls them that. Because what are they doing? They stand on the street corner to be seen by other people. And he's saying when they pray in the moment, their desire is to be seen by other people, not to be heard by God. And he says, look at what he says next. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Meaning they get what they want. In that moment of prayer, they're not wanting to connect to God or for God to hear them. They're simply wanting other people to see them and to notice them and to hear them. And he says, you know what? They get what they want. They receive attention. But God doesn't hear them. God doesn't reward that. God knows their hearts, and he's not moved by those actions. And he calls them hypocrites because it's clear that on the outside they're doing one thing, but on the inside their hearts are in a very different place. And there is a disconnect between what's on the outside and what's going on the inside. And Jesus is reminding us that God sees the heart. God knows what's going on the inside. And so he says, don't be like them. Now you may think, that's not really a tension in my life. Like, I'm not really tempted to go to the corner of my neighborhood or go stand outside HEB and just start praying out loud for people to see me. Well, I'm not really tempted to do that either. And so what does this warning have to do for you and me today? What does this have to do with us? Well, think about it. You may not be tempted by showy prayer, but in what other ways are you tempted to be showy? Think about it. Is there ever anything in your life that you want other people to notice about you? I'll be honest this morning. There are things in my life that I would like other people or I want other people to notice in the moment. Listen, I want my wife to notice when I have cleaned the house or I have done the dishes. And I am not above doing all the dishes and leaving a few out so that when she comes through the door and she comes home, I'm there putting the last few away like, oh, hey. Yeah, just doing the chores. Because I want the attention. I want the credit, right? I want the credit. I have been doing this. I want you to see. And sometimes I want other people to see my good deeds, right? I want other people to see how generous I am or how I give my time or how I help other people. I'm tempted in those moments as well. And the truth is a major part of us desires other people to see what we do, which is why Jesus also had this to say. He said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. That is an interesting phrase. You can imagine Jesus is saying this because this is probably happening in his day and age, that people are going around announcing giving to the good to the needy with trumpets. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And then he goes on to say, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That is a powerful statement from Jesus. And what he just said runs against everything about the world you and I live in today. We may not be able to relate to people running around trumpeting out loud in the street corners and in the synagogues, giving to the needy and performing good deeds, but we can absolutely understand the heart of what he's talking about here. We live in the social media age, in the age of pics or it didn't happen. That if I didn't post a picture of my meal, then did I really even have it? Like if people don't see what I ate, if people don't see what concert I went to, if people don't see how good I looked yesterday, then did any of it really happen? Listen, I'm as tempted to do this as anyone else. And I feel the tension in some of those moments to announce my good deeds or to announce what I was doing and where I was. But listen, Jesus is talking about so much more than what we post on social media. Jesus is talking about something greater, something bigger and more important. He wants us to know that when we do good, when we help others, when we give to the needy, when we sacrifice, when we're generous, and when we pray, that God desires our hearts over religious activity. God sees what's going on the inside. God cares more about what's going on in your heart than what your hands and your feet are doing. And so think about this. When you pray, do you pray to be seen by others or to be heard by God? It's a powerful question this morning, which is why Jesus eventually went on to say this. After telling us what we shouldn't do, he begins to kind of tell us what we should do. And here's what he said next in verse 6. He said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, this is a very different image that Jesus is painting here. And Jesus is telling us, when you pray, don't do it in public, but do it in your room where no one can see you. And he tells us to go to our rooms because he wants us to not be distracted. Not be distracted by the world, what's going on around us, even what other people may hear. And he's saying, just go to your room where you won't be distracted and where you can pour your heart out honestly to God. I don't know about you, but my prayers when I'm alone probably sound very different than when I'm in public. And Jesus is saying, God just wants your heart. God wants you just to be honest and vulnerable. Now, does that mean what he just said, that we shouldn't pray with other people? Does that mean that we shouldn't pray from this stage? Does that mean that we shouldn't pray anywhere that someone might overhear us? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is trying to get to the heart of God cares more about your heart than what other people see or think about you. And so sometimes it's good to isolate. Sometimes it's good to be in a quiet place where you can focus and just be honest. And the point here is that Jesus wants to reshift our hearts when we pray, to look inward and be honest about what's going on, about what we need and what we're feeling. And the takeaway here is that even though the door is closed, God sees what you're doing. That people see in public what you do, but in private, behind doors, God sees you when you do good, when you're generous, and God hears you when you pray. And so Jesus went on to say this in verse 7. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Now you see, the pagans here were praying to false gods. And the way that they would pray in this day and age is they would just go on by repeating the same phrase, the same string of words, over and over and over and over and over. Repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. So much so that Jesus calls it babbling. And the idea here is that they were essentially trying to beg their gods to do something, beg their gods to move, beg their gods to hear them. And so they would just repeat over and over and over, please help us, please do something. And here Jesus is reminding us that God is always listening. We don't have to beg him to hear us. We don't have to beg him to care. Look at what 1 Peter 5:7 says. The Apostle Peter wrote this. He said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's a very different picture. We don't have to beg our God to hear us or beg him to care. When you pray, he hears you and he cares. And Jesus is also showing us here that our God cannot be manipulated by repetition. Our God cannot be manipulated by the perfect string of words or perfect prayer. Again, you may think, well, I'm not really tempted to do that. Like, I don't want or feel the desire to pray by just saying the same thing over and over and over. But so many times we treat our prayers and we treat God like an equation, like an if, then. If I do this the right way, or if I do this perfectly, or if I do this thing, then here's what God will do. If I could just pray the perfect prayer, if I could just find the perfect word choice, if I could just do the right action, then God will do this thing for me. And we think, if I do this action, then here's what this outcome will be. And so many times we treat God like our own little ATM machine. Like we just think that we come up to him and we just think, I just need to figure out the 4-digit PIN. And if I could figure out exactly what it is, if I could just find the perfect string of words or actions, or if I could just figure out what that password is, then it will unlock this blessing from God that he is just holding back and waiting to give me, but he's just waiting for me to say the right thing in the right way. And what Jesus wants us to know is that is not at all how God approaches us. It reminds me of a story that Jesus told. Jesus told a story about two people who were praying. And he says the first was a Pharisee. It was a religious leader. And he says the way that he prayed is he began his prayer by cutting down other people. And he began by saying, God, thank you that I'm not like them. Thank you that I'm not like him, that I'm not like her, that I'm just better than everyone else. And then he will go on to talk about all the things he had done for God. God, I've done this for you, and I'm generous, and I've given so much money, and I've done all these things. And at the end of his prayer, he was expecting God to bless him because of all those things that he had done. And Jesus said there was another person in the story, a tax collector, a sinner, somebody who had made lots of mistakes. And he says, that man came to God, and he said he wouldn't even look up to the heavens because he was just aware of how much he had done wrong. And he said that he simply prayed this, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said that that man was heard by God. That's all he prayed, and yet God saw him, God heard him, and God cared. Jesus wants us to know that the length of our prayers doesn't equal the merit, that the perfect word choice and our eloquence does not equal or force God to do something he wasn't already going to do. God isn't holding back, waiting for you just to say the right thing in the right way, and then he will come step in and help. He just wants to connect with you. God desires connection over the perfect prayer. So think about it this morning. When you pray, do you pray to make God move, or do you pray to connect with God? Jesus went on to say this. Verse 8, he said, do not be like them. Talking about the hypocrites. He says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He said, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Whoa, what? Like, what does that mean? If God already knows what we need, then what am I praying for? What is any of this about? Listen, that verse transforms everything we think about prayer. What in the world is prayer for if God already knows? Well, I think back to something Randy said last week, that sometimes the things that we get to do begin to feel like things that we have to do. And I want you to know that for the first 18 years of my life, prayer was a have to, like a for real have to, like it was punishment. And in the faith tradition, I was taught growing up that if I ever made a mistake, if I ever sinned or did something wrong, then what I had to do is I had to pray a specific number or specific set of prayers, a specific number of times in order to be forgiven of those things. It was called a penance. Here was my punishment. Here's what I had to do. And it was absolutely an obligation, something I was forced to or felt like I had to. And yet what Jesus wants us to see is that prayer is opportunity, that prayer is an opportunity to connect to our Heavenly Father. And my understanding of prayer completely changed when I realized that. Look at what Jesus tells us. He reminds us that our Father knows what we need. He says that your Father sees you. That is very intentional word choice. Jesus doesn't instruct you or I to pray to the judge, to the king, to the ruler, even though God is all of those things. Jesus instructs us to pray to our Father. He wants us to envision that relationship. He wants to envision someone who wants to connect. That imagery makes me think of my own kids and what I want them to be thinking about when we are talking, when we get to hang out. Listen, in my house, I love to be the hero, right? My kids are little and they're young, and it's easy to be the hero. I get to step in and do things they're unable to do. I get to help them and reach things. I can fix broken toys or things here and there, and they just think I am just incredible. I'm the hero. But I don't want my kids to only come to me when they need something. I desire so much more than that from them. What I love more than anything is I love to sit on the beds of my two daughters. They are 4 and 6 years old. And I love to hear them tell me about their days, to tell me what's going on in their worlds. And listen, they are 4 and 6 years old. Their days are pretty straightforward. There is kind of a routine, and most days look just about the same. And so when I sit on their beds and I ask them about their day, and they tell me, there are very little things that I don't already know all the details about from mom or from their teacher or from just the routine. And yet in that moment, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I want to sit there and I love to connect with them, hearing them tell me about what's going on, sharing their ideas, their questions, their dreams, what's going on in their lives. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And it is so much more that way with God our Father. He cares and he desires relationship over requests. There is so much more to prayer than just bringing our requests, what we need, to God. Listen, if God already knows what we need to begin with, then what is prayer for? If God already knows what I need and he's capable of everything and he's in control, then maybe prayer is more about me. Maybe prayer is more about shaping me and getting me to trust God in the moment, getting me to see God's will and to shape my life to what he wants. And maybe it's an opportunity to talk to God, our Father, who cares and who's in control. So think about it. When you pray, do you pray out of obligation or do you pray as an opportunity? So what is your prayer life like this morning? Or what is keeping you from praying? Is it that you don't think God cares? Maybe that you've gotten no after no after no after no, and at this point you just don't think that he cares at all or that he hears you. And this morning I want you to know what is true. It's that God cares and that he hears you when you pray. Or maybe it's that you don't know how to pray. You don't know where to begin, where to end, what words to use. I want you to be reminded this morning that God cares way more about your heart than any words that would come out of your mouth. That's the God you're talking to. He cares. He hears you. Just talk to him. Now, immediately after these moments of Jesus telling us what not to do, Jesus goes into a very specific example of how to pray. He says, and when you pray, pray like this. And he gives a very specific example. And that prayer is so incredibly rich and full of details and things to discover. And I want you to know that next week, we're going to start a new series called Master Class, looking at how the Master taught us to pray. Now, it doesn't matter if you've never prayed before or if you would just like to learn how to pray the way that Jesus prayed, it would be worth it for you to join us for that. But to end our time today, I just want to simply do what we've been talking about. And I want to just give you a moment to pray, and I want to guide you to do that. And so this morning, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Just to try to get all the distractions, all the noise out. And I just want to lead you to just pray specifically a few things for yourself. And you can just say it silently in your head. But here's the first thing I want you to do. I just want you to thank God that he hears you. You. Just take a moment and just thank God that he hears you. The God of the universe, the God who created everything and created you, hears you. And so thank him. Next, I just want you to be honest. God cares about your heart more than your eloquence, and so be honest. Just tell God what is going on. What's going on in your world? What season are you living in? What's hard? What's scary? What are you anxious about? What are you worried about? Just tell him, list them out, and tell God why you feel that way. Next, I want you to ask God to help you to trust him. Ask him to show you what he wants you to do in these moments. So guys, just say, cry out to God, God, help me to trust you in this moment, in this situation, in this decision, in this season of life. And last thing, I just want you to take a second and I just want you to thank God that he is in control. Whatever circumstance you're facing, whatever season of life you're in, whatever decision you may be facing, just to thank God and tell him and remind yourself that he is in control and that God cares and he hears you. And so thank him that he's in control. Father, thank you that this morning you hear us. God, thank you that the God who is all-powerful, the God who created everything we know, the God who created us, cares and hears us when we speak to him. God, whatever it is that's going on in our world today, whatever it is we brought into this room this morning that's weighing heavy on us, God, the things that keep us, we're anxious, God, we're worried about, we're scared or we're confused by, Father, help us to give those things to you and to entrust them to you. Lord, help us to see prayer as an opportunity to connect with you. God, not an obligation, not a have to, God, but something we get to do. And Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities, God, and you would just give us moments throughout our days and our weeks to just connect with you and be reminded of who's in control and who you are. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.